This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, visit LibriVox.org. That's LibriVox.org. Fairy Tales by the Brothers Grimm. The Raven. There was once a queen who had a little daughter, still too young to run alone. One day the child was very troublesome, and the mother could not quiet it, do what she would. She grew impatient, and seeing the ravens flying around the castle, she opened the window and said, "I wish you were a raven and would fly away. Then I should have a little peace." Scarcely were the words out of her mouth when the child in her arms was turned into a raven and flew away from her through the open window. The bird took its flight to a dark wood and remained there for a long time. And meanwhile, the parents could hear nothing of the child. Long after this, a man was making his way through the wood when he heard a raven calling, and he followed the sound of the voice. As he drew near, the raven said, "I am by birth a king's daughter, but am now under the spell of some enchantment. You can, however, set me free." "Well, what am I to do?" he asked. She replied, "Go farther into the wood until you come to a house wherein lives an old woman. She will offer you food and drink, but you must not take it either. If you do, you will fall into a deep sleep and will not be able to help me. In the garden behind the house is a large tan heap, and on that you must stand and watch for me. I shall drive there in my carriage at 2 o'clock in the afternoon for 3 successive days. The first day, it will be drawn by 4 white. The second by 4 chestnut, and the last by 4 black horses. But if you fail to keep awake and I find you sleeping, I shall not be set free." The man promised to do all that she wished, but the raven said, "Alas, I know even now that you will take something from the woman and be unable to save me. man assured her again that he would on no account touch a thing to eat or drink. When he came to the house and went inside, the old woman met him and said, "Poor man, how tired you are. Come in and rest and let me give you something to eat and drink." "No," answered the man, "I will neither eat nor drink." But she would not leave him alone and urged him, saying, "If you will not eat anything, you might take a draught of wine. One drink counts for nothing." And at last he allowed himself to be persuaded and drank. As it drew towards the appointed hour, he went outside into the garden and mounted the tan heap to wait for the rain. Suddenly, a feeling of fatigue came over him, and unable to resist it, he lay down for a little while, fully determined, however, to keep awake. But in another minute, his eyes closed of their own accord, and he fell into such a deep sleep that all the noises in the world would not have awakened him. At 2 o'clock, the raven came driving along, drawn by her four white horses. But even before she reached the spot, she said to herself, sighing, "No, he has fallen asleep." When she entered the garden, there she found him, as she feared, lying on the tan heap, fast asleep. She got out of her carriage and went to him. She called him and shook him, but it was all in vain. He still continued sleeping. The next day at noon, the old woman came to him again with food and drink, which he at first refused. At last, overcome by her persistent entreaties that he would take something, he lifted the glass and drank again. Towards 2 o'clock, he went into the garden and onto the tan heap to watch for the raven. He had not been there long before he began to feel so tired that his limbs seemed hardly able to support him, and he could not stand upright any longer. So again he lay down and fell fast asleep. As the raven drove along her four chestnut horses, she said sorrowfully to herself, "I know he has fallen asleep." She went as before to look for him, but he slept, and it was impossible to awaken him. The following day, the old woman said to him, "What is this? You are he answered. I may not and will not either eat or drink. But she put down the dish of food and the glass of wine in front of him, and when he smelt the wine, he was unable to resist the temptation and took a deep draught. When the hour came round again, he went as usual on to the tanki in the garden to await the king's daughter, but he felt even more overcome with weariness than on the two previous days, and throwing himself down, he slept like a log. At 2 o'clock, the raven could be seen approaching, and this time her coachman did everything about her, as well as her horses, were black. She was sadder than worm tongue lay down under a bush and fell asleep. Again, the next day, he pursued his way through the forest, and that evening, howling and wailing that he found it impossible to sleep. He waited till it was darker and people had begun to light their houses. And then, seeing a little glimmer ahead of him, he went towards it. He found that the light came from a house which looked smaller than it really was from the contrast of its height with that of an immense giant who stood in front of it. He thought to himself, if the giant sees me going in, my life will not be worth much. However, after a while, he summoned up courage and went forward. When the giant saw him, he called out, "It is lucky for that you have come, for I have not had anything to eat for a long time. I can have you now for my supper. I would rather you let that alone," said the man, "for I do not willingly give myself up to be eaten. You are wanting food. I have enough to satisfy your hunger." "If that is so," replied the giant, "I will leave you in peace. I only thought of eating you because I had nothing else." So, they went indoors together and sat down, and the man brought out the bread, meat, and wine, which, although he had eaten and drunk of them, were still unconsumed. The giant was pleased with the good cheer and ate and drank his heart's content. When he had finished his supper, the man asked him if he could direct him to the castle of Stromberg. The giant said, "I will look on my map. On it are marked all the towns, villages, and houses." He fetched his map and looked for the castle, but could not find it. "Never mind," he said. "I have larger maps upstairs in the cupboard, and we will look on Where can you call God? God with you. And then, thinking he should like to know the cause of the dispute between the three men, he went out and asked them why they were fighting so angrily with one another. One of them said that he had found the stick and that he had but to strike it against any door through which he wished to pass, and it immediately flew open. Another told him that he had found the cloak which rendered its wearer invisible, and the third had caught a horse which would carry its rider over any obstacle, and even up the glass mountain. They had been unable to decide whether they could keep together and have the things in common, or whether separate. On hearing this, the man said, "I will give you something in exchange for those three things. But money for that I have not got, but something that is far more. First, however, prove whether all you have told me about your three things is true." The robbers therefore made him get on the horse and handed him the stick and the cloak, and when he had put this around him, he was visible. Then he fell upon them with the stick and beat them one after another, crying, "There you idle vagabonds, you have got what you deserve. Are you satisfied now?" After this, he rode up the glass mountain. When he reached the gate of the castle, he found it closed, but he gave it a blow with his stick, and it flew wide open at once and passed through. He mounted the steps and entered the room where the maiden was sitting with a golden goblet full of wine in front of her. She could not see him, for he still wore the cloak. He took the ring which she had given him off his finger and threw it into the goblet so that it rang as it touched the mountain. "That is my own ring," she exclaimed, "and if that is so, the man must also be here who is coming to set me free." She sought for him about the castle, but could find him nowhere. Meanwhile, he had gone outside again and mounted his horse and thrown off the cloak. When